National Radio Club.
Hi, Xers. Welcome to Market Scope for November 2011. This month, I'm dusting off some old air checks from the 80s as we look at 80s radio from the Midwest and a bit beyond.
National Radio Club.
Now the radar forecast from the 700 WLW Weather Center. Mostly sunny today and milder, high 50. Tonight, cloudy, low 25, and for tomorrow, cloudy and cooler, high 40. And Dayton right now, it's 26 degrees, 32 Lexington, 27 Northern Kentucky, and it's 31 degrees in Cincinnati. For ABC's Peter Cleveland and Bill Ridenour, I'm Mike Monsoor, 700 WLW News.
She's got something that moves my soul.
Under WLW have a song next, a Christmas song that lots of people have been requesting. Stay with us. Hear the Rascals.
How can I be sure I'll be sure with you?
It's Elmo and Patsy at 700 WLW.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. 700 WLW. Elvis Presley on the way. Have R.B. Greaves, too. Some Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Darlene Love. Foreigner. Sam the Shaman, the Pharaohs. The list goes on and on. Lots of great hot wax in this Million Dollar Hot Wax Weekend coming up. Stay with us, won't you? Make sure you join the Duster, Dusty Rhodes. Today at 7 p.m., he's going to count down the top 20 Christmas hits right here at 700 WLW.
Nobody on the road. Nobody on the beach.
WLW. Well, the boys of summer might be out tomorrow. It's going to be a pretty decent day. We'll tell you about it next. Oh, yeah.
Don't want a four-leaf clover. Don't want an old horseshoe. Want your kiss, cause I just can't miss with a good luck charm like.
Rock and roll for Columbus. Yes, radio. The new NCR.
Radio 97.9, the new NCI.
And
coming up next, here's a sample of some of the real tasties we got.
These went out of style about 80 years ago.
Oh, no, this is great, man. I like this.
A little too.
I like snacking.
Help to brighten up your day.
Everybody.
That's good stuff.
No, some more, more. No, come on, more. More.
I don't want to spoil it for everybody, really.
That song spoils itself.
Oh, I like it. I
give us
real.
Some more.
A little snappy tune.
Yo. Yes. For every girl and guy,
will you want to be?
Bruce, bad attitude.
Darn good thing this isn't a visual medium.
Yeah, we'd be in a lawsuit.
No, Brother Bruce coming up next. You stick around, going to be some very good stuff. And Rock and Roll Roots at High Noon. Tonight, softball. Tomorrow, of course, we'll be back at 5:30. Tomorrow night, the Poets Party up at Fortunes at Sheraton North. Going to be a busy weekend. Hope you can join us. See you at 5:30.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Just wanted to say goodbye.
Gary? One, two, three. Bye.
Billy's home. He just got back from L.A. A penny of lines, but nothing to say.
Said I'll race. 97.9, the new NCI. WNCI Columbus. A couple minutes after 10 o'clock, Bruce Wheeler here. My number, 821-9NCI, if I can do something for you. Here is Night Ranger.
97.9, the new NCI. Bruce Wheeler on this side, playing one great song after another. Here's John Cafferty and that Beaver Brown Band on the new NCI.
Z95.5 and AM 1500 with at least a $1,000 winner every day guaranteed. 11 o'clock, Kim Carson, WCZY, AM and FM Detroit.
All hit. Z95.5.
It's the kind of magic. It's the kind of magic.
Z95.5 with the Motor City's biggest daily cash giveaway for you, giving you at least a $1,000 winner every day guaranteed. Keep it here because it could be you. Also, more of the best music first. What do they say? Patience is a virtue? I have no virtue. Here's Five Star.
Mr. Big Guy, do your thing now, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Baltazar.
All party pigs report in right now, please.
Hey, this is Kelvin West
Vina. Se pasa en la casa, homeboy.
This is Dana from Downey.
We are pumping out the most commercial-free music we want to get through right now. 1-800-742-2100. The Pirates.
Reminds you that Paris High School is looking for qualified lifeguards. For more information, call KQLC Los Angeles.
Pirate Radio.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
Now here's the deal. Pirate Radio plays fewer commercials than any station on the dial. If you don't believe it, just count them.
Yeah. Pirate Radio and the hippest, fattest, raddest car on the road today.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what I'm talking about, and you want one. Shannon in the Morning has the tales on how to pick up your used Yugo from the Pirates.
That the Harvard UCLA Medical Center in Torrance is looking for diabetics to take part in the study. For more information, call KQLZ Los Angeles.
Pirate Radio.
Hi, this is Robert Barajas, and Pirate Radio made my dream come true. I won a 1987 used Yugo.
Yugo.
Ultimate performance. Yes, it's true. You could win a used Yugo by Friday. Details tomorrow with Shannon in the Morning on Pirate Radio.
A used Yugo? I'll have to remember to run that by the WNRC Promotions Department. Remember, if you'd like to record a market scope of your hometown, send your tapes to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71. Harpster, Ohio, 433-23-9364. The audio service members, along with myself, would be very grateful. Now the music, from the members, of course.
This is Musings of the Members.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Alasauskas in Milford, Pennsylvania. Our clandestine, so it seems, radio station in town here is back on the air effective today, which is October 2nd. The new call now is WYNY. It's been in the paper, I guess, whatever. And this trip around, we're going to do a format of, sounds like country western music. Amazing. They have been through so many changes, it's not even funny. Well, I hope everybody has a great season coming up. This, I know we're right at the beginning of the season, so let's go and let's DX.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, last night I just returned from Omaha from a great National Radio Club convention. The only sad part of it is only 24 people were able to make it because it was terrific. Those of you who could have gone and didn't, you don't know what you missed. And I made friends with Mark Durenberger and Skip Dattelstein, which I've been wanting to for some time, and they said the same, too, that they had wanted to make friends with me. I think it's great. And I hope that this club will continue on to be so great as it is, and that we will have more conventions, and that they will be better attended. Coming through Chicago on the way back, we hit a station on 1190, and it wasn't Fort Wayne, and they were playing good classic country music. This was on the Sunday night. Maybe someone can help me with where that would have been coming from. Heard a lot of good stations along the way. In answer to someone mentioning the station on 1360 in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, what their call letters used to be, I remember them as WMCK. I pick up the station a lot in the mid-50s. And I remember they used to carry Brooklyn Dodger baseball at night. Ben Mercer is leaving CFRB in Toronto. He's been doing weekends there for about a year and a half. He's quite a veteran of the radio business. CBE Windsor on 1550 finally did shut down. And the Los Angeles Dodgers are changing flagship radio stations again next year. They've just finished their second term around with KABC 790. They're going to KLAC 570, the Fox Sports station in L.A., which served as radio voice of the Lakers for an awful long time.
Hello, this is Victor Schmidt with a special bulletin. AM and on FM, WMAL can now be heard on 105.9.
This is John Wesley Smith from Hallsville, Missouri, and if you're a fan of Dick Summer, you might be interested to know that he has a website at dicksummer.com, and that's summer just like the season. And the reason that I found out about that is because he was interviewed on a program called Books and Beyond with Bonnie Bloss, who is also blind herself. And there's a Fillmore box number for that at 773-572-3166. And if the Dick Summer interview is not on the menu when you go check that out, then you can also check it out online at www.accessibleworld.org/categories/site-and-beyond-archives. Big URL, but you might want to check that out if you can't find it on the Books and Beyond Fillmore box number.
This is Carl Dabbelstein calling from Tucson, Arizona. I just returned from the Omaha convention where, although the turnout was small as compared with other NRC conventions I've attended, a good time was had by all. I particularly enjoyed meeting some of the DX audio service voices that I have listened to over the years, like Mark Durenberger, Mike Lance, Wayne Ryan, and Dale Hamm. I also enjoyed the opportunity to see old friends like John Kellerman, Bill Nittler, Wayne Heinen, Paul Swearingen, and Neil Zank. A highlight for me was participating in the group photo of the five of us who were at that first Omaha convention back in 1959. Big thanks go to Ernie Wislowski, Carl Mann, and Mark Durenberger for making a convention a wonderful experience. For now, 73s and good DX.
Yeah, hello, this is George for Musings of the Members. I would like to let people know that they can give me a call if they want to contact me about radio and DXing. I like to make friends on the DX audio service line. My phone number is 414-461-9710, 414-461-9710, and my cell phone is 414-573-2808, 414-573-2808, and I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I also want to tell you that WSSP lost a contract for the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers, 2 years ago, they lost it. WTMJ got it back, so that's what I wanted to say. And also, I think that survey we got should be on the done over the phone. That way a blind person can do it independently. Okay, thank you, and have a great day, everybody, for Musings of the Members.
If you are like me, you're probably wondering what happened at the National Radio Club convention. Well, we just happened to have some audio when Mark Dernberger gave a speech after the dinner at the convention.
And now I'd like to introduce our guest speaker, Mark Dernberger, a unique individual who's an accomplished engineer. For a good number of years, he appreciates the history of the industry, and what makes him really unique is he understands the DXing side of the industry. And best of all, he shared his expertise with us on the DX audio service.
Thank you, Carl. I want to thank Ernie and Carl and Skip and all the rest of you folks who put on these shows. This is my first because Labor Day has never worked for me. And so it's just great that the time fit. And it was a serious pleasure to meet so many of you and people I feel I've known forever who have been on the Musings line, people we hear from on, of course, DX News and DX Audio Service. So it's good to put names and faces and places together. When Skip and Ernie asked me to come up here, they said to share some war stories, and Ernie told me to take as much time as we need. He said we've got the room till 3:30 in the morning. Okay, so I should talk real slow. And it's not true that I had to cut out a lot of my remarks because there are ladies here. I'd say it was close to 60 years ago I put my first pirate radio station on the air. The band still had breathing room back then for little 50 milliwatt stations. And, of course, you had an expectation when you ran one of those of being heard as far away as, well, your neighbor's backyard, you know, if the wind was blowing, right? But you knew the whole world was listening. It was skipping out there, and people were driving by and tuned into your station. Of course, 50 milliwatts into a short piece of wire didn't go very far and certainly wasn't enough for a curious American boy. So my friend Virgil and I, pretty soon we had a serious wire stretched across our backyards. And pretty soon I was doing a converted Heathkit transmitter. We're doing about 50, 55 watts into this thing. And I'm here tonight because we were so far away from civilization that I never got caught by the sheriff of the airwaves. Otherwise, I'd probably still be in jail. Like all of us, I had the radio under the pillow thing. And, of course, for most of us in those pre-transistor days, it was a 6 or 8 tube cathedral radio, complete with the dim dial light and the hum. And they made a nice toaster. I remember that. Obviously wouldn't fit in the bed. But, geez, you couldn't leave that big speaker on. So I cob up a pair of headphones to the plug on the back, and some of you know that that's a four-prong plug, and there was a reason for four prongs, because two of them had 250 volts on them. Remember that? I found that out the hard way. But it was magic to do that. It was just, I mean, you would hear stations, and you would recognize where it was coming from by the dialect. You knew you were listening to Atlanta, or Salt Lake, or L.A., just by the voices. And now, of course, it's all homogenized, and everything is on all the same stations. It's all done by some guy in his basement in Indianapolis. Yeah. Car radios, we had the car radio with the vibrator. Remember those little cans? I had a checkered career in front of the mic. Most of the time I spent was on the other side, either somewhere this side of the mic on out or with you guys listening and tuning. My very first broadcast was on a station that I think you mentioned tonight, Skip, KFAM, in St. Cloud, Minnesota, 1450, with a signal that depended on the wind direction. 6 a.m. Sunday morning in 1956. Really nervous, first day. Exactly at the moment I turned on the microphone, the Conelrad radio went off. It was this far away. The volume was turned all the way up. And what did you hear with Conelrad? The tone. And it scared the bejeebies out of me. That, of course, I figured not only me, but the million people that were just listening there ready for my 6 a.m. sign-on. The second fun thing happened to me at my next part-time gig, which was in Albany, KASM 1150. It was a 500-watt daytimer, and I was a kid in school on college vacation. No Conelrad, thank God. But the first day I was doing vacation relief, a guy walks in with a stack of German music. And he says, here you go. The German hours from 2 to 3, and you'll do the news, weather, and funeral announcements in German. So my total knowledge of German was Gut dass Sie einen Wecker haben, which means it's a good thing you have an alarm clock. So I don't know how I got through that. I'm sure there was a lot of back-to-back music. I was among those fortunate enough to have an Elmer. I've heard you talking about that tonight. They're called mentors now, but they were called Elmers when we were kids. And they were somebody who helped you develop your interests and your life skills as well away from home. My Elmer was a guy named Bob Witchin out of St. Cloud, W0SV. He wrote part of the book on VHF communications and put on one of the early FM stations. I worked a lot of nights with him at this KFAM station. And one night after sign-off, he says, watch this. We broke apart the 3 1/8-inch transmission line going up to the antenna, which was about 500 feet up, and hooked up an ordinary table model FM radio. And we're hearing Chicago and Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Omaha, because there was nothing else on the band back then. It wasn't skip. It was just plain RF coming in. The other thing that he did to me, I was hoping I would forget this, but you know the size of the transmitter tubes we saw yesterday morning. Well, they're about that big in FM. They cost about $15,000. And he was telling me how much they cost, and he pulls one out, and he walks around the corner, and I'm doing something over here, and all of a sudden I hear glass breaking. And, oh, my God. And he comes back around the corner with the strangest look on his face, like it just cost him. You know what he had done? He dropped a light bulb on the floor. I think remote broadcasts were the most fun because you never knew what you were getting into. And back then, which I call then maybe the 50s and 60s, you know, you never knew how you would get a signal from here to there. And we had to rely mostly on equalized telephone channels. So you worked with the toll board. And you never knew who you were going to get, except you always knew it was going to be a guy on the toll board. There were never any women working for AT&T at the time. I'm not sure why. But you would get them to patch through your circuit. So if it was coming from Wadena, you'd call the St. Cloud toll board, and they would patch it through to Minneapolis. And you had to worry about tone levels. On a meter, of course, you had to have a tone that was at 100%. Well, we never had tone oscillators with us to generate that tone. So from the remote end, we would go, zero, plus one, and they would read that, and he's off by one, so well, let's move it back. You may not have known this, though. If you were too far away from the station and you couldn't hear the station, you ordered a telegraph circuit and a key on both ends and a sounder, and you would key the letter K in Morse code. So you transmitted to the remote engineer who might have been 150 miles away and couldn't hear your station. So that was the go-ahead. That was a long time ago. I fast forward quickly to remote broadcasts in the 1990s, and we find ourselves in the middle of Mille Lacs Lake. And you know where it is, and you know where it is. Most of you guys do. It's about, what, 30, 35 miles wide, I think. So we decided to do a fishing opener broadcast in the winter with about 4 or 5 feet of ice, 10 miles from the nearest wall outlet. How are we going to do this? So we put a satellite truck, a trailer with about a 9-foot uplink antenna on it, digital up to the satellite, back down to the station. Well, things were going well. We're on a 50,000-watt 1A station in prime time, high stakes. Our power is provided by a Honda generator. So as we're in the news, the Honda starts to do... Now, most of you know there is such a thing as a Honda sputter. I didn't know that. I died 3 deaths when that thing started to do that. That was okay. Then about 10 minutes later, the mic was on, somebody was doing something, and one of the ladies inside hooked onto a Lunker walleye, and she's pulling it up through the ice. And she said something about that walleye that should have caused the station to lose its license. And it came through just as clear as a bell. Look at that. The worst thing would have been if she'd lost her fishing license, much less the station license. Well, one of the stations I worked at in the 70s in Minneapolis was a full-power FM station, and it had the most euphonious call letters in radio. WLOL.
In Minneapolis.
They don't get any better than that, do they? And boy, I tell you, if you're a jingle collector or... It had an automation system back in the 70s, as most still do, but instead of being on a computer, this thing was a wall of pre-recorded tapes on 14-inch reels, which is a two-hour show. And about once a week, somebody would put one of the pre-recorded classical music tapes on backwards. They didn't understand classical music, and they didn't, you know, so it would play all the way through backwards before it went to the next reel. The cart machines in those days would like to just keep playing. They're supposed to stop. There's a subaudible or inaudible tone that's supposed to stop them after the message has been played. Well, they'd like to play through if the tone got missed. I had built a time announcer out of a cart machine, and I had recorded, it's 9 a.m., it's 9.01 a.m., it's 9.02, and so each time, and it would advance every minute, whether it was used or not. Sometimes that kept playing, and one time it must have gone for an hour. Every few seconds it said, it's a minute later. I think the best radio job I ever had was at WCCO 830, because it was at a time when that station had an overall average audience rating of 40% to 50% of all the radios in the area. It was a monster. It was run professionally with a staff of, I think, about 105. Never would you hear commercials back to back. No automation. Professional talent. Fun remotes. It was just the greatest place to work. And some great talent and some good voices. And some of you folks, many of you have heard the station. Almost all the commercials were read live. Maybe you remember a voice named Jurgen Nash. Jurgen Nash was the newsreader. He also did commercials, and he did a 9:30 in the evening show. But once he was working in the morning on the farm show, and he was trying to read a farm commercial.
Right now, your animal health supplier is giving away free a special introductory size can of Pfizer Uddertone. Well, with each 12-tube carton of terramycin for mastitis that you buy, you get this special introductory size can of Pfizer Uddertone. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. Terramycin, now let's get serious, of course, is the mastitis treatment that you
want me to read that for you?
Now, listen, I'm going to make it. I've got all day down here, and say, help me, I'm going to... Terramycin fights the broad range of bacteria that can cause mastitis, gives faster, more thorough udder coverage than any other broad range treatment can because of its unique all-liquid formula. And you will find Pfizer Uddertone just great for soothing.
When we come back to it.
No, listen, if I give up, I'll never make it. I'm going to face this thing right now because it'll be hanging over me all day. You'll find Fuzzer. You'll find Pfizer Uddertone just great for soothing chap. Oh, there you go. I wish
they're only entitled to a 1 minute commercial. You made a 3 minute commercial out of it already.
Live stuff. I mean, there's no radio like that anymore. Jurgen was also a bit of a Luddite. The extent of his technical knowledge was to take his headphones and switch them between WCCO or CBS. Well, if they were on CBS, of course, you couldn't hear what was on WCCO. So one day he's setting up a telephone interview. Again, this is live. He's got a phone call coming in from somewhere up in North Dakota about the flood. It's from Arv Johnson, the news director. And this is what happened. And this is what folks heard on the air.
Arv Johnson, our news staff is in Minot now, standing by to give us a little information on the flooding situation. Arv, what's the story there?
Well, Jurgen, you overshot a little bit. I'm in Fargo, Moorhead.
Arv? Do you hear me?
Yes.
We lost contact.
Hello, Jurgen.
Hello, Arv.
Yes, do you hear me now?
Are you there, Arv?
Do you hear me now?
I'm afraid we've lost contact with him. Hello, Arv.
Hello. Hello, Jurgen.
Arv, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, fine. Oh, I had my key over on CBS. I'm sorry.
I'm not on CBS.
No, I'm sorry. I had it on the wrong switch.
I'm in Fargo, Moorhead, Jurgen.
I haven't passed my last test here for operating this pilot's board here.
Two switch. Jeez. I worked overnights on several nights a week at CCO, and that is when I know I met some of you, and I know some names that are still familiar, because I would get the calls coming in from people listening across the country or around the world to good old WCCO 830. The thing that I remember about those Clear Channel days the most was how unbelievable it was how those 50 kilowatt flamethrowers got out, and they just went around the world, and now it's all gone. Well, after building a half dozen stations and studios, I found myself with Hubbard Broadcasting and KSDP on 1500. And most of you have heard KSDP even down here. It's another great station with another great station builder. Imagine listening to this coming through the night.
The sound of the city, the sounds that are heard in St. Paul and Minneapolis, where the
so cool and so rich sounding. You'd never hear anything like that on the air nowadays because it takes too long. You got about 2 seconds to throw your image out there. And I had a really good fun time in radio and satellites and television and sports networks, and I'm still having a good time. And for the last couple of months with the DX Audio Service, working with people like Fred Vobey.
Hi, gang. This is Fred Vobey back here at the DX Audio Service Sheetrock Announce Booth. And I'm sorry I can't make the convention this year. It seems my employer has other ideas for my time. I'm off building a 1 million-watt TV station. Well, there's two other things I'd rather be doing. One is being at the convention, and the other is building a 1 million-watt AM station. Talk about being a pest. Hopefully we can make a convention in the future. 73 Good DX. And remember, get out and support radio.
There's a guy that's done an awful lot for the club and for the business. And he's a good friend. You know that this month we broadcast issue number 319 since 1984. And over the years there have been a few changes, but with your input, we're glad to see the magazine continues to grow more useful. Wayne, you mentioned the subscription now is $15 for all three.
Download the MP3 files at DX Audio Service. You have access to open forums.
that are on the EDX, what we call the bulletin boards, and weekly you can download a PDF of the EDX News magazine.
For $15 a year.
$15 a year.
Yeah, there is so much good information out there. And the DX Audio Service, and tooting my own horn and everyone else's, has done just a tremendous job. Some of you remember the guy that I replaced, a fellow named Jim Snowbarger.
Hello there, National Radio Club members. Jim Snowbarger here. Having a great convention? Boy, I hope you get some good steak while you're out here. You're not only in corn country, you know, you're also in... Cow country. I was the original host of Bandscan. In my day, it was just, what does the radio dial sound like at your house? When we stopped the Bandscan column, we always rounded it off with this little sounder here. Anyway, welcome to Omaha. Glad you're having a great convention. And in case you just need to hear it, 73s and good DX.
Guy with a great set of pipes, and he's doing well. So I could go on about DX Audio Service. I don't need to, because those of you who have been members, a lot of you have had still have the first cassettes. So I'm going to tell you about one thing about my experiences, two things about my experiences with the DX Audio Service. One I should not admit. We did a broadcast from the fan deck of the ferry from Ludington to Manitowoc, Wisconsin, the car ferry. And I sat in the back with a radio and a loop and recorded that. And it was a choppy night. I never told anybody it was that I was violently ill while we were doing all of that. And it might have been because I was smoking a cigar while I was... The other thing was the fun we have out in the desert with anywhere from a 1,600 to an 1,800-foot or 2,500-foot beverage antenna. And we've learned over the years, even though the desert's a great place, because a beverage antenna that long, you can rotate it in literally any direction, and it's extremely quiet out there, so it's a good place to be. But the big problem is that the damn thing is too good. Every channel sounds like a graveyard. You're listening to every station piled up all the way along, and sometimes it's really hard to just decipher them. There was one, however, on 1710, and one, I think it was a Sunday night, October 10th, 2004. I just happened to have the recorder running, and I swung over to 1710, and I heard something coming from a 1-watt radio station. That blew me away to think that you could pick up something like that from.
Yes. So where were you then? You took 100 miles away.
No, in west of Grand Junction, Colorado, we have a site that's about 20 miles into Utah, just north of Interstate 70. Mm-hmm. I forgot the grid square. DM 46, maybe something like that. It is getting kind of late, and I really appreciate your staying awake. Here we are at the end of another convention. I hope I don't have the last word, because, Ernie, you should have it. This has been just a terrific show, and I really appreciate meeting so many of you. Thanks again to Ernie and Carl. Next time we meet, we'll probably still be exchanging stories about how it's getting tougher to DX the medium wave band with the so-called cheaters and the fact that the FCC continues to fill in any open space with 1-watt signals.
Good.
It's happening with FM, of course, as well. But fortunately, the DX tools are getting a little bit better, too, aren't they? There are some really neat toys out there, and they're making reception almost painless, which is not fair either. If there's no pain involved, you shouldn't get the reward of the catch. So.
Did I put you on the spot?
Right here?
You did this yesterday, 4 or 5 years ago, about how KFAB and WBBM give the programming without an echo. You remember a little bit about that?
Yeah, I remember a lot.
Could you make a short talk on that?
The reason I remember it is it was such a kludge. Working backward, as we found out when we were out at KFAB, they were on 780 and 770. and so was WBBM in Chicago. CBS, in its wisdom, decided that if they could somehow synchronize the sound on WBBM 780 Chicago and 780 Lincoln at the time, that they could actually have this homogeneous Western-sounding voice. Well, the problem was in the delay of the audio. They worked out the oscillator so that everything was master oscillator, two signals. That part was easy. But getting the audio from Chicago to Lincoln so that it appeared at the Lincoln transmitter at the same time it appeared on the air in Chicago was the real issue. Because if there's a delay, they're going to fight each other. You're going to get an echo. So now, if you're with me, where do I need to put the delay?
Chicago,
because it's going to take a while to get to Lincoln. They made the delay out of a wall of telephone coils, a delay line made out of telephone coils. Before they did that, they built a delay out of a lead pipe. They put a microphone on one end and a speaker on the other end, and they calculated how long the sound would take to go from this end to that end in air. And they trimmed this thing until it was, they thought, the exact length of the delay they needed. Can you imagine what that sounded like? It had to be just horrid. That's what I was trying to approximate on that. Nowadays, of course, you can get pretty close with digital delay, but it's not a practical thing to do because the only place two amplitude-modulated signals will be exactly in phase is at one spot. Move 3 feet that way, it's gone. Weather changes, sky wave bumps into it, it's gone. So it really can't be done. You can approximate, but CBS should never be forgiven for what that must have sounded like in Chicago. The good audio was in Lincoln. Mike.
We had a talk radio station in Miami that had a delay system. I'll never forget this. That would, it was run on, I'm not too technical, but it was run on two cartridges. And sometimes the cartridges were not clean. You
right.
Hear the person with, you hear dead spots coming
yep.
after you during the conversation. And it would fade in and fade out.
That was very common back then. You'd used a single cartridge and a record play. Cart machines normally weren't made to do that, but if you modified one, it would record. I forget how it works. You put the playhead ahead of the record head, I think, something like that. But so it just continually erases itself.
Yeah.
And it was, you always had to splice. I went through this one. Thanks for bringing it up. Thanks a lot, Lance. You had to splice the tape of exactly 7 seconds length at 7.5 inches per second. That's 49.50. And if you got it wrong, of course, the time was off. But they lasted about a day. And then it's exactly like you said. Pretty soon they don't erase or the heads get dirty and you start hearing the previous pass. And then the one before that. And then the one before that. So thanks, Mike. Appreciate John.
Your story about the farm show brought back a terrible memory for me at KPAN in Hereford, Texas, years ago, when a concept that I had never heard of came up in an agriculture commercial, and it sounded something like this. Farmers, got green bugs? Then get ladybugs. So-and-so has ladybugs frozen in the jar. Then let them loose on the green bugs. And by that time, I was in absolute stitches. They were ladybugs and they ate aphids.
Anything you can share with us as a preview for some of the upcoming stuff you're doing in the audio service?
I'm getting the sense, I guess you all know there's a survey in the system if it's not out already. You should have it very shortly if you're with DXAS. And you should have been able to download it by now. So, but I'm getting the sense from what we're told that these profiles, the state of the station things, seem to be working. And those of you who are members of the DX Audio Service, you know, this is a good chance to tell me if that's not true, that if we go into a market like that and talk about it. Do that every other month. Fred, with the magazine, is trying to make sure that we now get into more news and views. more receiver descriptions and tests, reviews, if you will. I think the AM switch is really doing well. Dave Alpert from L.A., who is a ABC News reporter, has been doing it for us, doing a great job. We're always looking for more input, but Fred has just gone. As you guys know, he puts 30 to 40 hours a month into this thing, and he's available to anybody that calls him. And so we keep trying to make it better. I don't know of any, I can't tell you anything terribly specific other than that.
So, keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, and thanks again, and it was so good to meet all of you. Take care.
And that was Mark Durenberger at the 2011 National Radio Club Convention in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, listen, if you have not yet sent in your survey, you have just mere moments to do so. Please fill it out and send it in as soon as possible. Debbie is right now putting together all the information into a spreadsheet so we can find out what you, the membership, want. And if you have an opinion but have not sent in your survey, shame on you. Please do that real quick because your opinion counts. Next month is our holiday edition of the DX Audio Service, so why not give us a call on the Musings line and wish everyone happy holidays from your house to ours. And until next time, 73 good DX, and get out and support. Ho, 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 ho. Radio.